Well, welcome to your announcements. Can you believe that October's almost over?
It's coming up, man.
It's crazy. But before the month is over, we've got a few more events coming up that you're gonna wanna take note of. The first one is membership class coming up this Thursday.
That's right. If you're interested in being a member of SBC or just learning what that entails, we have a class this Thursday at the Wilkinson Road campus at 7 p.m.
You betcha. And last but certainly not least, and most definitely most excitingly, We have life-sized live-action Monopoly happening Saturday the 29th.
That's right. This Saturday, coming up the 29th at 1 o'clock at Northridge Elementary. Mm-hmm. If you want to play a game of Monopoly, come join us. And you say, hey, Shyla, I don't have any kids. Well, if you like to have fun, we'd like to invite you to join us. So if you'd like to know how the game works, you can check it out on our website. And as I said, we'll be there at Northridge Elementary, 1 p.m. on Saturday.
Woohoo! Sounds fun. You're definitely not going to want to miss out on that. And if you have any questions or you need any more information, you know where to go.
That's right, the website.
You betcha. All right, we'll see you there. Or be square.
Awesome. Well, good morning, everyone. If you're able to, we'll invite you to stand with us as we begin to worship this morning, beginning with our call to worship. And as we gather, we want to just acknowledge with gratitude that we are worshiping on the traditional territories of the Wissanich and Lekwungen peoples. And reading this call to worship from Psalm 52. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. For what you have done, I will always praise you in the presence of your faithful people. And I will hope in your name, for your name is good. Amen. Yeah, let's worship together.
Bow before you. There's only
love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness. Been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, yes, I will sing the goodness of God. I love your voice. Close like no other. And I've known you as a father, known you as a friend, and I have lived the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. So, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing the goodness of God. All my life, all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You've been so, so kind to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind. Till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. And oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Your foe, still your love fought for me. You've been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You've been so, so chases me down, fight still, I'm found, leaves a 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give to me. No, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Yeah, so Father God, we thank you for your love that you've just so freely given to us. God, we thank you just for the ways that you're revealing yourself to us, your character, your goodness. God, I pray, any of us here who might be resisting that love, God, that you would just humble us and soften our hearts. Yeah, Father God, you are good. We love you. We pray that our hearts and our minds would just be open to receive your word and your mercy here today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You guys can have a seat, and kids, you can head to the back and meet Shyla. So we're doing things a bit differently today in our service, and we're actually going to be taking communion before Lindsay comes up and speaks. And so we just wanted to take some time to prepare for communion. And to start off with, I wanted to read from Isaiah 53, which is a passage that is speaking to Jesus, speaking to the Messiah that was to come. So listen to these words from Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So I'm going to invite you to participate with me in this next part. Brooke Ligertwood has come up with a song that's actually titled Communion. And so today we just wanted to take that song, read the lyrics together. So I'll start, and then you'll see on the screens the part that you can read together. So this is Communion. Your body broken, the cup we're drinking is bittersweet. The gift of friendship, truest salvation, born of your suffering on Calvary.
Remember the sacrifice of love. Remember the blood poured out for us. We remember the only Son of God upon the cross.
From stained to spotless, from wrath to favor, through you, our Savior, the work complete. In full repentance, led by your kindness, partake of presence as we receive.
Christ, you had to pay. Remember the wounds that made a way.
how can it be? There is a table for all who would come.
Taste now and see. There is a table for all who would come.
Take of the bread, receive the cup, for his mercy is enough. For the many and the one,
this is communion.
Take it as often as you will, for his blood has power still. By his wounds we shall be healed.
This is communion.
So we have three stations that are set up around the room, and when you are ready, you can line up to receive the cup, the bread, and then I invite you to take that back to your seat, and once we have all had time to collect the elements, we'll take them together. 1 Corinthians, we read that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So let's take this bread, Christ's body, together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's take the cup together. Jesus, we do remember. We remember your sacrifice. We remember the physical pain that you went through. We remember the story of your father turning away from you. We remember the free gift that you have given us. We remember how death was conquered. We remember the life that you have called us to. And we are so grateful. Thank you for the gift that you gave us when you willingly gave your life so many years ago. And thank you that we can live in this new reality today because of what you accomplished so long ago. Yeah, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
What a unique experience that is. Where do you get that anywhere else? Where we come and we pause and we take these elements that represent something so, so significant. Yeah. It's good to be with you. Thank you for those of you who have joined us in the room, for those of you who have joined us online. It is good. We are in the middle of a series. We're going through the book of Ephesians. Church of Ephesus. We're trying to understand what Paul had to say to this church. And we've been talking about how we believe that God has offered us a faith that is alive, although we just went through a ceremony where we celebrate his death. We know that a few days later he was raised from the dead and he is alive and wants to empower us and offer us a life that is incomparable. And so Paul has been trying to help the church in Ephesus and therefore for us, as this letter was recorded, for us to understand some of the significance of that. We've recognized that there's this idea of another dimension out there. Like we can bang on a table. We know that there's physical things going on, but we've recognized, you know, there's another dimension. There's a spiritual world truly at play. Many times Paul has referenced that, and we understand that even Jesus talked about how this enemy or this adversary, his whole job was to steal, kill, and destroy. He was trying to ruin life as God had designed for us. And so today, like any day, I implore you, I ask you, I'm trying to understand for my own sake, how might I become alive in Christ again today? How might I live in that? Truly experience that today. Now, today we're going to be looking at sort of three sections. It's going to start in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, and we're going to go all the way through, quite a ways through into chapter 3. As you know, we're doing more of a flyover than a deep, deep dive into every single word and phrase within this book. We're going to be starting at chapter 11, and in it, what happens, what Paul shares here reminds us, if somehow we've forgotten, that this letter was very much a letter that was written at a very specific time for a very specific group of people. Let me demonstrate for you how that happens. You see, I doubt in any letter that you've received or written, likely in your lifetime, has there ever been the word circumcision in it? Some of you are laughing, some of you are going, why would you even bring that up in church? I kind of have to, because Paul did, all right? And he starts talking about this thing that is just something that we don't talk about in public, right? It's not, that's between a doctor and you know, let's not go there, right? But it reminds us that it was written in a very specific time, and it had significance. You see, in the early days of the church, what we need to understand is that there was this shift starting to take place. See, there was an old covenant that had been established with a group of people, and one of the symbols of this covenant to recognize that you were a part of this covenant was this thing called circumcision. And that was one of the things that kind of demonstrated, and this was a practice of other religions and is still a practice of some religions today. But why is Paul bringing this up? Why does he talk about this in chapter 2? Well, it's interesting. If you go back to Acts chapter 15, you have this thing, and in your Bible, it might be like mine, there's this word, the Council at Jerusalem. Like, there was a really big deal. There was some battles. There was some theological issues going on in the church, if you like, matters of practice of the church. And it says there in Acts chapter 15, it says, certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, unless you're circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you can't be saved. Do we want to do a hands count? Who's been? Didn't think so. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. Tension. There's an issue going on. What is taking place? You skip over to verse 5, and it says, then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees, which was a religious part of the Jewish faith, some of these people who belonged to that party stood up and said, the Gentiles, by the way, a Gentile, unless you're Jewish, you're a Gentile. Yeah, Jews, yeah, Gentiles, Jews, everyone else. That's kind of how that rolls. The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses. Whoa, okay. The apostles and the elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving them the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. Now, I'm just going to put a pin in it. This just sounds all nice. And we're just kind of reading it. And oh, isn't it wonderful? Oh, this is interesting. Some of you are going, this isn't interesting at all. This is blasphemous. Like, this was causing significant challenge to the people of that day. Some of the Israelites, some of the Jewish people, some of the early believers, they were just struggling with this. What is going on? They received the Holy Spirit. Are you kidding me? He did not discriminate, speaking of God, between us and them. For he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? Like, it was burdensome. Peter acknowledged, we can't even do it. No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. We talked about that last week, right? It's not anything we do. It's not any little work of a knife or anything that we do that allows us to become a part of the kingdom of God, to become his children. No, it's by God's grace. I love what is said later on in verse 19. You skip down a few verses, and Peter says, it is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Now, folks, this is significant. It doesn't seem like it to us, and I get that. Why? Because we're not Jewish. I mean, there might be a Jewish person in the room that might hold some significant, but here's the thing, that was the old covenant. And Jesus came to bring something brand new. See, God had originally chosen a people, the nation of Israel, people to bring the story, to bless, to show himself. But now Jesus has come and offered us a new covenant, something completely different. Not a regional, not a national, not a special group of people, no sacred places, just in us. He reaches out to each and every one of us. Let's look at verses 13 to 18 in Ephesians chapter 2. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away, if you were uncircumcised by Jewish standards, you were far away. You were despised. You were not a part of the group. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Just what we celebrated. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, Jews, Gentiles, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And that is amazing. But again, unless you're Jewish, it loses a little bit. I get that. I understand that. But you see, what we need to understand is that there's no longer an elite super squad group of people out there. There is one, there is us. And you go down to the end of chapter 2 and it says, and in him you two are being built together to becoming a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. God's Spirit wants to live in the us, in the together, in the one. And I guess the question I've got, okay, so if I'm not a Jew and this is hard to have some significance, what's some of the takeaway? Well, maybe I need to ask this question for you this morning. I know I need to ask it for myself. Are you or I stuck in some old covenantal ways of thinking and relating to God and to others? Do I have some old ways? Am I trying to prove to God that I'm okay, that I could actually be picked for your team? Like, by some way, what I do, is that something that I'm trying to live in? Am I forgetting that it's by grace? I mean, Paul just talked about that last week. Well, okay, I did. But Paul, right, in Acts chapter 2, it's not about what I do. It's about what God did. It's about the bread and the cup. What he did, what he offered us, what he welcomes us into. Am I stuck in some old covenantal way of thinking that somehow, maybe it's my birthright, maybe it's my looks, maybe there's some do's and don'ts that I'm doing really well and not doing really well, and I'm somehow appeasing God that's making me acceptable. Am I thinking in some way I'm superior to others in any way, shape, or form? Because this kind of thinking gets us to places and causes us to do some horrific things. We just have to look back a few decades, maybe a few hundred years, to the history of our nation and some of the things that we did because we felt like we were superior, that somehow we had it figured out. And you see, Paul, 2,000 years ago, was trying to remind us that there isn't an us and them. That there's not somehow we're better than others because of where we're from, what we know, what we do, or anything like that. No, we are to be one. And when we live together in the proper harmony and unity, the Spirit of God lives. Spirit of God dwells. Maybe I need to ask myself and you this morning, do we make it harder for people to follow? Like to come and be a part of it in any way? Or are we raising up some standard that we can't even adhere to? Or are we receiving the gift that God has given us, and are we then living that gift out to others? You go on here in chapter 3, and Paul starts talking about how he's a prisoner, and the reason he's a prisoner is that he has chosen to go and receive God's call on his life to go out and live and share this story. He uses the word mystery in here, this mystery, because it was so hard for some of the early church to understand this mystery that God actually loves each and every person just as he loves each and every other person. For God so loved the world, not a specific, just little special elite squad, but the world. Who once he was persecuting these people, he was now a servant to on behalf of God. It seems so simple, but it's not. We so quickly can profile and judge and have bias. We see skin color. We see ways that people live things out. We have barriers of language, and we sometimes just start to make pecking orders. People are matter more than others maybe who don't, and we get ourselves in just all kinds of trouble. And Paul says in chapter 3, verse 6, this mystery is that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Together, one people, all image bearers, one under God. In Colossians chapter 3, when Paul was writing to the church in Colossae, he said there's no barbarians or Scythians. I'm thinking, wow, those are interesting words. Again, not words we generally see in letters that we write today. But it's not about all of that. It's not about the circumcised, the uncircumcised. It's not about a certain tribe or this tribe. No, we're all one in Christ. And he goes on and he says, and really, but who am I? Like, why am I someone who's been called, someone who's been chosen to go and to share this story? He says, I'm the least of these. And Paul demonstrates an incredible humility. And he says, I want to come along and would you join me in trying to share, like trying to live out this boundless riches of Christ? And in verse 8, it talks about these boundless riches of Christ. They are yours, but are you willing to live them out so that then others can receive them as the free gift that God has given us? that we might together be able to share in the spiritual blessings, the inheritance, the full wisdom of God. And you see, history reminds us over and over and over again, when the Spirit is alive, there is a welcoming posture of the church that is unmatched. Where the Spirit gets quenched is when we start putting up boundaries and walls and obstacles that God just does not want anything to do with. You see, the real beauty of the church is the welcoming of outsiders, of whom we were. Those not like us. Or maybe those who are like us, but are still an outsider somehow in some way. You see, in Jesus' name, all are welcome. And when all are welcome, we truly become the people of God. Every tribe, every tongue, every people group, verse 12, and in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. That's a promise for us all peoples. All nations, all tribes, children, family, a servant, friend, a coworker. These are interesting words that Paul is using and has used to describe this new relationship that is taking place, this new understanding of who we are as a people. We go on, verses 14 through 19. This is, I told you a few weeks ago, like there's just some powerful prayers that Paul pens in some of these letters. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, we have this. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now listen, this is an amazing prayer. And when I read it, I get kind of jacked up about it. Like I really like it. I get excited. And what I hear is I hear all this stuff that God's got for me. Do you hear that in there? Because that's in there. But sometimes what I miss is that there's a collective understanding of what this really is. Did you notice in there again? It said, together with all of God's holy people. Now, I don't know if all the things that I've been saying and blabbing on about, maybe you've missed it somehow, I've covered it over and I don't mean to. What has been catching my attention throughout this story, in these first three chapters of Ephesus, is how much Paul talks about this collective thing. Like, yes, there are personal spiritual blessings, absolutely, but there's something significant about the cult, like the together thing, the us thing, the in community expression. And it's significant. And it begs the question, are you in community? Like, are you in, are you with a group of people that where you can really, like, live this stuff out? Because this is good, what's happening right here. But this isn't living this stuff out. And that's a question I've got for myself and I've got for you. Are you in community? To where this stuff can really function and happen, where this love can really be understood and experienced and shared. And he wants us to be strengthened in our inner being, that we might have courage and the peace and the confidence to allow God to dwell in our hearts as individuals, but together. Like, together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, long, high, deep is the love of Christ. See, there's no limit to God's love. To the what, the who, the where. There's nothing that God's love, the work of the cross, cannot touch and wants to bring alive. And Paul is calling us into community. Listen, when we're alone, like I guess I've seen this now, you know, because I'm older and I've been through a lot of life. I've seen it. How many times, like someone in and of and by themselves, like probably good people, but in and of it by themselves, just kind of unchecked people, just all of a sudden find themselves over here or over there, and you're just like, how did you get there? How did this happen? How could that be? Because when we're alone, gaps can create. We can miss things. We can become blind to some of the realities and expressions and things that we start to lean into that may or may not be of God. And I've seen, as I said, people who have become fringe, strange, truthfully exclusive, sometimes nasty, nasty people who do horrific things. And it's not that they started there, but they've just lived a life in isolation. And there's no community around them. There's no ability to sort of be checked, to have people checking in on you. How you doing? Way to go. Be careful. And we cannot live the fullness of all the measure of God when we're on our own. We can't experience the depth, the width, the height, the length of God's love when we're on our own. We're called to do this in community. And listen, I recognize that in this kind of a gathering, there's some community. There's a little bit. Some of you are going, I don't want community. I want to come in. I want to leave. We understand that. We've experienced that from you. And that's okay for a season. Like, we need to be in community. We need one another. We need one another to experience all that God has called us to be. You know, we talk about things like microchurches and stuff like that. Like, I don't really care how you find that community. I just want you to be in community. We'll help you. We'd like to help you. We'd love to talk to you about microchurch and what that looks like. But it's not about microchurch, it's not about home groups, it's about, are you in community? Like, are you living out this faith in that way so that you can truly grasp all that God has for you and for others and for the community around you? Because when you carry on and you read verses 20 and 21, you understand and you recognize God has more for us. Significantly more. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine according to his power that has worked within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Like this is amazing. Like, God wants to do more. He wants to work powerfully in your life, through your life, in the lives of others around you, into the community around you forevermore to the glory of God. And so, Paul is asking us, are we a servant to this gospel as he is? Are we co-workers? Are we a part of the family of God? Have we found community to where we can truly live this out so that we can grasp it, so that we can beat down some of this bias and profiling and us versus them? Are we there? Or do we still need to be convinced? That's okay if that's where you're at. Let me pray. Dear God, I join with Peter and Paul, and I want to understand what it is you've called us to, what you've called me to. That you've called me to be a servant to this gospel. You've used words like you've brought me into this new family. You've said that there are some truths about all that you've done and who you are that we really need to grasp within community. And Lord, you know, I just recognize that that's not easy. And it's not easy. And it's challenging to our schedule. It's just hard to get along with some people sometimes. And I can quickly profile and maybe look down on people for just whatever the reason is. Like, it's ridiculous. And Jesus, you came and you wanted to change that narrative in my life and the life of the church. And so, God, as we are just going through this series and trying to understand it, Lord, might we recognize and become a place where your spirit can truly dwell. Like, we understand that you dwell in us as individuals. Thank you so much, Spirit of God, for that. But there seems to be a significance about how we function collectively in community to where your spirit can truly make yourself known. Where this love can be just overwhelming. Where people can discover the freedom, the deliverance, the restoration, the hope. Where they can experience true grace and mercy. That we might be able to discover what it is to have the courage to be strengthened by the power of your Spirit, God, deep within our souls. And Lord, that is sometimes, and I recognize that that can be taking place right now in this room, and I pray it's so. But I also know, God, you want that to happen in other rooms as well, as we're with other people and we're trying to figure out how to do this life and how to walk with you in the midst of family and career and neighboring and recreation and, you know, financial struggles and financial blessings and, like, just all of these things. So might we be a people that's joined together and becomes a place, both collectively as we gather, but also then as we scatter into homes and other places where we meet, by which you, God, can live by your Spirit. for your glory and the good of others. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you're able to, I invite you to stand with us as we sing this song in response. Sing peace.
Peace, bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name still, call the sea to still, the rage in me to still every wave. At your name, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. These bones to live, you call these lungs to sing once again. I will praise Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, oh Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble. Shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive that the shadows can't deny. Your name can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Sing Jesus. Oh Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you. make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today in worshiping our God and remembering his sacrifice together as we took communion. And if you're new with us, we're so glad that you joined us today and would love to connect with you more. And so Jake or myself would love to connect with you. Also, we have people at the Connect Desk who would love to share more about what SBC is all about. And we have Connect cards in the seat in front of you. If you want to fill that out and drop it in the offering plate in the back, we'd love to connect more with you. Also, as is our tradition, we have people that are going to be at the front. And if you are in need of prayer, we would love to pray for you. But let me just close with this benediction, which is repeating part of chapter 3 that Lindsay read for us. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Have a wonderful week.